They hear me all over Macon County. Open my door. No, I jest. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. You precious people, because the essence of love you can feel when you come through the door. And that's the power of the presence of the Spirit. Because God is love, is He not? He is, and He is Spirit. He is. Well, we're expecting a little cold spell according to the weather, but that's nothing new to us mountaineers, is it? Not a bit. It's going to be cold when you see them boys down at Walmart wear their breeches down to their knees and they start pulling them up. That's good weather, man. And I have seen it so cold the chickens would run into the electric fence just to get warm. So cold is nothing. Cold seasons have purpose, though, don't they? That's right. There's still life in the roots of these trees because they hold mountains together in the wintertime. They're strengthened. Today we're going to talk a little bit about talking trumpets. And I know this ain't no political place, but you know, people talk to me about Trump and all this, and I say, unless they live north of the Blue Ridge Divide, I don't even know who they are. You know, but I was working on this study, and I was thinking, well, Lord, you know, I used to think the world was going to end with a trumpet. And the Lord say, no, trumpets. And I said, oh, I get it, trumpets, with an S. And the Lord said, forget it. He said, just forget it. Anyway, I'm going to find my ink pen shortly. I can't keep up with nothing, can y'all? Well.
Here you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I have to mark as I go. Well, here it is, for crying out loud. I ain't right. We've got good sense sometimes. Anyway, it's been said, beloved, that you have to have a document. And I don't condemn nobody else's document, but mine is the Bible. And I think the Bible has gotten a really bad rap from fundamentalists. And I got in trouble on Facebook because it just hit me one day to write down fundamentalist. You know, because it speaks of those that take this book literally, and thereby women get bashed and wars are validated and all kind of stuff because of the literal interpretation. It's not a literal book. It's about you and I. And it's about what goes on inside of us. But anyway, you got to have a document, and mine is the Bible. You have to have understanding of allegories and parables and symbols and figures of speech, and then it will all come together for you to where it will make some sense. I want to take you just for a moment into the great book of Matthew 24, which is usually by the fundamentalists regarded as the great doom, gloom and doom chapter, end of the world, bombs and blisters and earthquakes, and when we all get to heaven, it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Well, let me ask you this. Would you buy a house on top of a mountain? Would you spend all of your life working hard and making grand sacrifices? But you couldn't move in that house until you died. That's crazy, ain't it? Well, that's exactly what mainstream religion asks you to do. They serve us someday, Jesus. They really do. And it saddens me. But that's the truth of it. If you ever read this chapter, you will hopefully experience it and the shaking down of the old ways, which is earthquakes in diverse places, a shaking of the old so that the new can come forth. And once we overcome self and religion, and then we get to the next verse and it says, and then, not till then, after we overcome this self and foolishness, it says, and then shall the Son of Man appear in heaven. That's your higher self. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. That's your earthly carnal thoughts that are nothing but death. You know what death is? Again, Paul defines death. He said, carnality is death. Our carnal thinking. There's no life in it. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of our thoughts and stuff. And it says, you shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, that be your heart, with power and great glory. Do you know what the glory of your higher self is? The glory is the goodness that is revealed that we might not even know about. Well, what does it say he's coming in the clouds? Well, you know, because spirit is unseen. You can't see spirit with your flesh eyes. You have to close these eyes to look with your spiritual eye. He said, behold, I come with clouds. Again, unseen presence. The next verse, and why I come here this morning, beloved, to this verse. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What in the world? I want to focus just a minute on that word angel, with E-L. Angel. It means the power within you. Have you ever heard of Elohim, which means you are co-creator, you are Elohim in the beginning, God in the angels, Elohim. Have you ever heard of El Shaddai? See that L? El Shaddai. Well, all the names of the angels end with L. How about Michael, Gabriel, Raphael? And then there's Daniel, Ezekiel, Barbarel, Periel, Sharonel, Otheriel. See? You're a messenger. Okay? Anyway, angels and messengers and trumpets are lights and sounds that influence our thoughts and our direction if we will listen. And these sounds, these impulses, these inner trumpets bring harmony within us. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have harmony inside, you're going to have dis-ease. Break that up. Dis and ease. Disease. Harmony brings, with that is disease. Angels are portrayed with wings, and that just speaks of a higher way of thinking. Now, I've been called an angel before, but it's because they said I'd done a lot of harping and flapping. But that's all right, too. Well, I want to say just a minute about who are these elect, these chosen ones that you hear a lot of the super preachers talking about, Judah and Israel and stuff like that. A Jew is an inward. It's an inward thing of your heart. It has nothing to do with the literal tribe of Judah. And why not? Because Judah was simply a type of those that camped on the east. Now I'm going to ask you, where does the sun rise? East. The Garden of Eden is in the east. The abode of light dwellers, i.e. the elect, abide in the east, where the light is, where the sun is. I like that very much. Sound of a trumpet. Trumpets are higher inner unctions, if you will. They're inner vibrations that bring harmony. I've said that within. And they announce and reflect a changed life. You know your life is changed when somebody accosts you with something negative and you react differently than you did before. That's how you know that you've changed. You know, inside. I like that. Well, what's a trumpet blown with? Your breath. Your breath. You know, they tell us to breathe during meditation. You know, in and out. That's blowing the trumpet in Zion. Hallelujah. Because you are Zion. That's true. The sounding of the trumpet is the divine blossom that's in you, inside each one of us. It takes discipline. I want to repeat that. It takes discipline to bloom into a new creation. It ain't for sissies. Spiritual growth is a process. Jesus taught first the seed, then the blade, then the full ear of corn. So there's no room for guilt as to anybody that we encounter's level is. They're still in his pasture. They're still our brethren. They're still one of us. Anyway, no room for guilt. In the early beginning, I reflected back when I was thinking about this, and I guess it was about 2010. I talked a little bit about it in the red book that I wrote, the second one. In my early beginning, I was sitting at the table having coffee with the Lord. I like mine black, and he brings a sweetener. And I had the book open to John chapter 12, and I was reading this verse, this chapter, where they was two disciples. They went to tell Jesus, said, they some good old boys. I want to see you outside. They want to see Jesus. And this is what he said, and this throwed me for a loop. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I scratched my head and I said, Lord, that is the funniest answer I believe I have ever heard, and that don't make one lick of sense. They want to see you and you come out with something like this. How in the world can we understand it? Well, you see, this book is filled with dark sayings for a purpose. And I thought about this puzzle. And I was stirring my black coffee and looking inside, and then the trumpet of understanding sounded. And then I realized, once we die to ourselves like a corn of wheat that we put into the ground, once we discipline ourselves to take root downward and bear fruit upward, which means in meditation, others will see Christ, the Christ mind in us. And that is the only way. That is the only way on this earth that anybody is ever going to see the Christ consciousness in you, is if we discipline ourselves. Then others will see Jesus. It's not hard to hear the voice, the trumpet of God. People, I think, they try to... It comes natural. If you just be obedient, it does. You know, there's a scripture in this book that says the violent take it by force. You can't do that. I have read accounts where people would actually take drugs to try to reach that higher level. No, 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 no. The violent take it by force. You can't do that. It's natural. It's already in you. What's required of me is to be obedient. And the scripture says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I like that. That helps me a lot. First, how do you do this? How do you hear the voice, the inner impulse, the inner vibration? Well, absolutely, first thing we have to do is seek first the kingdom of God in you. And quit looking for out here, outer space or anything, because although he is the instigator and the creator of all that, he is in you. It says Jerusalem is his most favorite spot. Well, Lord, I don't know what's so big about that. I mean, we got the mountains here, Lord. And then it hit me. Jerusalem, city of peace. Your heart is his favorite spot. That's his favorite spot. I like that. So we seek first the kingdom of God inside us. It says, like a deer pants for water. Have you ever seen an animal or a deer panting and looking for water? And they mean serious business. They got to have it, you know. We have to pant after the Creator, after love, like a deer. You know, we got to have that life. Seek his righteousness, which means right ideas, right thinking, right thoughts that come from the right side of the brain. And we take no thought, we take no worries, we're not concerned with material things because we own it all anyhow. It's perishable, isn't it? But what you have inside is eternal. Eternal. No fear. He knows our needs before we ask. So we simply do. We simply be still And sometimes I have to say that 10, 15, 20, it don't matter, 150 times. Be still, be still, be still, be still, and know. Know what? Know that I am God. Know that I, at the center of me, is God. That's power. How do you know that? Because He said we were. And I believe it. He said we were. Spirit. Now consider Jesus' beautiful analogy of the fig tree. It's a mystical teaching too. And it's about growth also. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. I love fig Newtons too. They may not have but one fig in them, but I like them. Anyway, it's about growth. In verse 32, he says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, know that summer is near." You know, he didn't say maybe you should read it. He said learn it because it's about you. You are that fig. Why? Because the magnificent part about a fig is it blossoms from the inside. I like that. Did you know that? It blossoms from the inside. It's you. So when truth is taken down, deep down within us, and it begins to mature, then a trumpet of inspiration, an urge, you know, to come up higher, to grow a little bit more, to spiritually. He said, then know that summer is near, because why? We are departing the old ways. We're taking off the old and keeping the new. It is. You know, the unfruitful spiritual winter is gone when you begin to put forth leaves. And others will see it. Or they may call you a cult. So big deal. Let me tell you something. If by definition a cult is a cult, this book right here. Jesus was a cult. You know. But they've got that all screwed up too. Anyway, it says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Why does it say that? I used to puzzle over that. Why did it say that? Pray that your flight be not in the winter. And woe to you that are with child. Well, it means pray that your journey be not be in the coldness of carnality. Hallelujah. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. You know who the door is. And you know the sound of the trumpet, the vibration, the inner on the inside. And this is ushered in by a talking trumpet. It's an unspoken word. It is the feeling of the Spirit. Beloved, pant after the divine like a deer pants for water until you feel Him. And His magnificence. And you feel His love. That's the key right there. And it will bring harmony. The most talking trumpets is found in the great book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I like to out with the full title because that's exactly what it says. The Revelation of Jesus Christ means the unveiling, the making known that you can see. Now here's a question for a lot of people. If it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, have you seen Him as He is or have you not? See? Oh, it's a wonderful book. The sounding of the trumpet brings us into divine consciousness. I love this Revelation chapter 4. And I've been in studying in Revelation and reading it over, you know, and I see something every time. It's like going into a rabbit hole. But I love it, love it, love it, love it. But in the Revelation chapter 4, and he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet talking with me. And it said, come up higher. Come up higher, and I will show you things thereafter. I will show you inner change. Inner change. I like that. So after this, after we overcome self and we overcome materialism and this religious junk, all these things are listed, by the way, in the letters to the seven churches, which are really the seven chakras that run up and down, written on the backside, as Revelation 5 says. But that's what the seven churches are. And then the door of opportunity is open. Now, I don't have to tell you who the door is. It's divine entrance. It's an invitation. It's an opportunity. Do you know the first thing to the first letter? I believe it's Thyatira in the great book of Revelation. The first thing he said to do, he said, return to your first love. And a lot of people thought that meant go back and marry the one you divorced the first time, etc. And actually that happened, but you know what that means. It means you return to meditation and communion with me. And once we do that, things will begin to fall into place. It takes discipline. I'm telling you right of myself, it takes discipline. But anyway, a little is better than nothing, but it means to return to meditation, return to your first love. And it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne. Now, this is your heart. Look here. Don't look for some mystical jewel something way out yonder in space with an old man sitting on it waiting to put warts on everybody's head. No, it's in you. The throne is in you. In you. Either the divine sets in my heart, or ego and self does. And if it be ego and self, then there's a word for it. It's called Antichrist. Antichrist means instead of Christ. Instead of the Christ consciousness. That's what the Antichrist is. It's a verse that kept burning on my mind when I was studying, thinking about this and this. I remember when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I tell you to do? Why do you call me Master when you don't do it? And he said, I told you to pray in secret. I told you to take no thought. I told you to practice the third eye. Did you know the third eye is the stone that the builders rejected? That's right here in the temple of God. You want to touch the temple of God, the temple that is not made with hands? It's easy to do. That's it right there. That's the temple. We can find many excuses not to go to the wedding. If we don't go to the wedding, the door won't open, the trumpet won't sound, and our divine connection will be severely limited. And then it says in verse 3, and he that sat upon the throne was likened to a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in the sight, likened to emerald green. This is all symbology. It's symbology. Gems and stones have meanings, else they wouldn't be in the Bible. And the jasper stone is symbolic of spiritual growth. Now, the sardine stone is symbolic of our ambition for spiritual growth. And the jasper is understanding. I'm sorry if I messed that up. Emerald green. Green is eternal. It is a color of eternity. Green. As a matter of fact, I think in the great book of Amos, who, by the way, it says right there in verse 1, it says Amos was of the herdsmen of Tekoa. And I thought, God, he lived just down the road here 20 miles and I didn't even know it. What is wrong with me? Of Tekoa. Anyway, in our it is written, he says, I am a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Hallelujah. That beautiful color green. And the rainbow is symbolic of the bridge between us and God, between our earthly mind and our divine mind. And the gold is at the end of the rainbow. And bless God, someday everybody will get sick and tired of sliding up and down on the colors and land into the pot of the gold, which is the Christ mind. The Christ mind. To lay down in green pastures. You remember that? Green pastures, eternally fed into green pastures. Speaking of sheep, have you ever thought about why we are told to count sheep to go to sleep? You ever thought about that? Well, sheep is symbolic of divine thoughts. You have to keep watch over your thoughts in meditation at night. Keeping watch over the flock that's coming in, the flock of manure that's coming out of your left side of the brain, and put a hush on it. Anyway, there is such a thing as tooting your own trumpet. And before I tell that, I got to tell this, because I'm just a mountain storyteller. I can't help it. One time our old mule got down with a colic. And Dad decided that he was going to tie it up and he was going to drench it. And that might work, but it didn't work. So he put this big tube in a long funnel and he went up the other end and he poured it full of mineral oil. And that might or might, I guess it did work in the long run, pun intended, but the mule broke the rope and he jumped out of the shed and he jumped the fence and he left out, and the neighbors just seen that mule and he was just a-going a-tooting by, and there was some like Aunt Ruth that said, "Well, I heard something, but I didn't see nothing, and I believe the rapture took place and we got missed. We got left here." That's tooting your own trumpet. But there's an account of that in the great book of Genesis. And it is in Genesis 9. And 2 Peter does tell us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I'm not going to argue with it. But anyway, it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, it says, Noah began, this is after the flood, and it's not a literal flood. Maybe someday we'll get into the meat of that. You know, and bring out that allegory and how it applies to us. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine thereof. This word began in the Hebrew is a very, very interesting word. And it means profane. And it means to toot a horn. So what did Noah do after all the calamities and stuff? And what do we do many times after we come through the flood of great waters? Well, pride will make us toot our own horn. There's a lot more to the story of Noah than him having too many wine coolers and passing out in his birthday suit, as it's literal in the Bible. There's a lot more to it. Yes, what is it to it? We see, after a while, Noah become naked of divine reality. It's a type. I don't know if there ever was a Noah. I don't care if there ever was a Noah. I'm the Noah. And that's what that's where the meat is for me. And you recall that his son Ham, which means darkness, he partook of Noah's nakedness, his barrenness. And he went out and he told it abroad. And it went like wildfire. And it wasn't so. It was a lie. But it was gone. And his other two sons, Shem and Japheth, they walked backwards and covered it up. You see, the barrenness. And then Noah waked up from his drunk. He did wake up. He did, like I do. He did wake up from the drunk. And he cursed Canaan, which means lowlands, which means low thinkings. And that's what he was drunk on, was his own low mind and stuff. But anyway, we might get into that and plow deep. But beloved, know this. Every word, every number, every character, every geographical location written in this book, which I use, you might not use it. You might use something else. That's totally all right with me, because there ain't a nickel's worth of difference in, I don't know what his name is, Krishna, Buddha, whoever. Ain't a nickel's difference. but everything has a meaning. And it will always remain ink on pages until it comes off the pages, and we become every character, every situation, everything in this book. You know, you have to read it like this. And the virgin, and Gabriel came to the virgin, put your name there. Because it is our mission to birth the Christ consciousness. Does that make sense? Just forget about Mary and put our number there. To hear the trumpet within, we must be still. Be still and know that I am God. How do we do that? Matthew 26. And when Jesus, the higher part of us, was in Bethany. Bethany means house of God. You know where the house of God is. If you don't, just go like that. And you can... But that's the temple of God. It's right here. It's between buck and ball. Anyway, he was in the house of Simon the leper. The leper is simply a type of the unclean carnality of us that is shut down during meditation. Yes, shut it down. 10% is all that's required. 10% of your mind. But you know this. Some of you pros in this, and I'm just a young'un. And they said, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and she poured it on his head while he sat at meat. Jesus didn't serve milk. I want to tell you something, Christians. What happens is if you wait around in the milk of the word too long, it's going to sour on you. You've got to find substance. You've got to find meat. You've got to become part of that and hang on to it in a minute. But said he set it meat in Simon the leper's house. And there came into it. Did I read that? The woman comes with the alabaster box having very precious ointment. Did you ever notice in this passage this woman don't have no name? You know who she is. She's you, and you, and you, and me. What's this alabaster box about? Well, I've never heard such of that, sister. What I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never read that. It's an alabaster box is a pure, white, virgin box. It is a translucent mineral that glows from the hallelujah inside out. Do you like that? The inside out. Look it up. The box can't be black or orange or speckled because it is a pure heart lifted up to meet the Lord in the air in meditation. And that is the rapture that the majority miss. My neighbor told me, he said, Lord God help me. I hope the rapture takes place. I don't forget my pocketbook. She really said that. Anyway, the alabaster box is filled with a very precious ointment. You know what it is, don't you? It's love. Love is the key. And we'll open the door. Break that alabaster box. And it ascends up like sweet incense. That's the offering. That's the offering. Do you know it says in a place, maybe it's in Isaiah, I'm not sure, it might be in Micah, but it's God says, I never wanted you to sacrifice animals, you fools. I never required that. He said, I don't want that foolishness. I want your love. See, and that's how they get this twisted, because they take it literally, animal sacrifice. No. No, I want your love. So let's break it every day, beloved, that alabaster box. And send that love out to others and to him. Jesus said, whoever in the world hears this good news, he'll preach about this woman as a memorial. And we do. We remember her alabaster box, our heart filled with love. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that has ears to hear, let him come. And he that is athirst, let them come. If you ain't thirsty, you ain't going to drink nothing, right? He that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. Freely. It's free. I like that. It's free. And we become one with God and one in love and one in the universe. And I told him coming up the road, I said, you know, I was thinking about that gospel singer, Vestal Goodman. You might have seen her on the TV. Oh, good old Vestal. And she had belt out that song, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. And I like that because I could say that with her. I truly could. And I'm going to close. I've done enough harping and flapping. In Malachi chapter 3. It says, bring all of your love, bring all of your 10% of your brain into the storehouse. And it, you know, you're the storehouse. Bring it in here and prove me, saith the Lord. Prove me. Give it 1 month if you're new to meditation. Give discipline 1 month and see what a difference that it makes. And he said, I will open up the windows of heaven, that's your heart, and pour you out blessings that you won't have room to receive. I like that because I've experienced that. Now, sometimes we get along, you know, and then we just sit there and go, or whatever vibration that might get you going that touches the inside. And you say, well, I didn't hear no trumpet. You don't see nothing happen. Well, what Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. What does that mean? It means just be obedient and see what happens. You don't always know the magic that's going to happen. You don't know the cancer cells that are being washed away. You don't know the depression that has just vanished. A lot of things. You don't know the pain that just seems to cease like that when you're in meditation. Well, my advice to myself too is magitate. Keep it up. The Greek word for voice is an interesting word. It simply means phone. Voice is phone. I fear we spend too much time like this and not enough time paying attention to the vibration that's calling us on in here. Answering this one. So when it vibrates, pay attention. Do like little Samuel said, here I am. He said, speak, I hear. Or be like Isaiah. Isaiah was an old prophet, and in the literal, you know, he told him to strip off all his clothes and go through the town screaming, naked. And somebody asked me one day, said, well, if the Lord told you to do that, would you do that in Clayton? I said, well, he didn't, and I ain't. But Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And that's a little bit scratching the surface on the talking trumpet, beloved. And, you know, that ain't all I got to say about it, but I'll shut up. You know women, don't you? just listen to your inner thoughts. Thoughts are a very powerful thing. Thoughts are creations. Nothing that you have ever instigated in your life did not begin with a thought, did it? Nothing. The power of thought. In the beginning was, shut up, Woodall. In the beginning was the Word. The Logos. You know what Logos means? It's a thought. In the beginning was a thought. And that's how it's all come about and come together. And that's how things will come. Think that you are healed. Think that you don't have a need. Think that you are endowed with royal riches and attire. Think that, believe that. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Speak victory. You can't lose.
Well, thank you for putting up with this old ignorant hillbilly one more time. I appreciate you and I love you. And I'll be thinking about you when I go into the closet. And it's hard for me to shut up my thoughts, it is. But sometimes you do the best you can. And then I think this. Did you give yourself your brain, your mind? Well, who gave it to you? The Creator. And it goes just all over the place, hayward and over here and in here, jumping around and stuff. Maybe it causes you to do things. How can you be accountable for something that you didn't even ask for? See? And that's when you yield all that up in meditation. And then winders will just pound you right in the head with blessings. Might not happen right that minute in your closet, because I'd have to sweep up some of them. But they'll come. Gosh, I love you. Sarah and Heather, God bless. I think of you a lot and the humbleness in your heart and your life that you live, your walk. I think of a lot of you. I think of your gift of healing, you know, and just your kindness, your countenance. You have the most beautiful countenance. I shut up, Doug. It's tater time, ain't it? Hallelujah. Glad for tater time.